The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
Turn in your Bibles, and I do count it a blessing and a privilege to share from God's Word. I mentioned the government job that I have. Really, the work that I do literally has no routine whatsoever. So that's kind of nice, but at the same time, I can easily miss events and opportunities. And so I'm not a big fan of iPhones, but I tell you what, this has been a lifesaver, mainly because of the alerts and calendar notifications I get. You know what it's like. If you don't have something, alarm clock or something letting you know that you have an event or appointment coming up, you can be in big trouble. And this has been a lifesaver. I live by these alerts and notifications that I get from my calendar, so I don't miss events. They let me know when a particular time or an hour is coming up. But not only do alarm clocks and phone notifications help us, but there are events that kind of help us be aware that a certain time is coming. I was talking with my wife about this. I don't know. Doesn't Groundhog Day, kind of like when a groundhog comes out, doesn't that kind of signify that spring is coming? You know, just little things like that that indicate that, okay, the time is coming. The hour has come. When we were in Spain, I remember that whenever there'd be a large show of police, and maybe, their type of secret service, I guess it's the same here. When you saw all that security coming into a city, we knew that a dignitary was coming into town. And so that kind of indicated that the hour was coming, that someone important was showing up. So different events and circumstances kind of help to indicate to us that an important time is coming, an hour is coming. In fact, in my own life, I'm finding out there's things happening, for example, to my own body that's indicating that my hour is coming. My vision is getting blurred, my teeth are falling out, my metabolism is slowing down, and it's telling me that the hour has come, that I'm not young anymore, and I'm just getting older. But if we go to John 12, 20 through 32, John 12, 20 through 32, we find an occurrence that happens during the time of Christ's life that he says was signaling that the hour has come. So why don't we stand, if you would please, John 12, 20 through 32. I'd like to read this, and you can follow along. I'll read out loud, but let's all stand as we read God's word, John 12, beginning at verse 20. And again, my vision is blurred. I should have brought my reading glasses. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come, that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, and if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for this passage that just brings to our attention again how great the work of the cross is in our lives and for all of history, the work that you did to secure our salvation. I just ask, Lord, that you'd help us as we look at these verses, that you would just speak to our hearts and show us again, Lord, the importance of getting the message out of the cross to the people around us. I just ask that you'd bless this church, bless Pastor Christian, bless all the families of this church who are watching, whether online or here present. We just ask that you'd continue to build and strengthen their lives as we all learn daily how to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So interestingly, as these Greek people, you may be seated. I think literally the last time I preached was 2 years ago when I preached here, a little out of practice. But this event that Christ indicated was signaling that the hour has come. The event of these Greeks showing up. We don't know how many there were. We don't know if there were several families. We don't know if they were, if it was a large group. But they come to the feast of the Passover. And that really was the purpose of the people of Israel. The whole purpose of God choosing and calling out the nation of Israel was that so that they can be a light to other nations, so that they could see that the true God was with the people of Israel, and that those feasts and those ceremonies would somehow point them to Christ. And what's neat about it is that these Greeks got it. They show up to the Passover, and they're thinking, you know what? There's a bigger significance here. And they've been hearing about Christ. And so they start asking around. They find his disciples. They find Philip. Could you show us Christ? Philip seems to be kind of unsure about it. I don't know. But he feels that he needs to consult with Andrew first. And so then both of them, both Philip and Andrew, go to Jesus and say, there's some Greeks here to see you. And almost like to me, I don't know, for some reason it reminds me of a Rocky movie, and I don't want to belittle, but you know when he has a task to do, but he's kind of hesitant, but suddenly he decides to do it, and in the movie, this bell rings, dong, and it's like, okay, we're ready, let's go. And for some reason, it seems like as these Greeks show up, it's almost like a bell resonating up to the heavens, and for all of history saying that the time is come. These non-Jewish people come looking for Christ, and Christ begins to explain that the hour has come. What is this hour? Well, first of all, it's the hour that he should be glorified, first of all, through the work of his cross. So let's look at verse 23. Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And so Jesus, being the master teacher that he is, of course, we remember in different occasions when Christ mentioned, for particularly after the transfiguration, he mentioned that Christ would soon be going to Jerusalem. He would be beaten and put to death. And Peter was, no, that's not going to happen. We're not going to let it happen. And so, you know, the master teacher, being sensitive to the difficulty they're having in understanding God's will, he uses a very familiar agricultural setting that they can all understand. And basically, he compares his work to, again, a corn of wheat falling to the ground and dying alone. But in doing so, it's going to bring forth much fruit. And Christ is going to be glorified because he knows that now the time has come that he, as Hebrews says, by himself will purge our sins on the cross, would die alone, his disciples would scatter from him except for one. He would die alone, but between two thieves, and alone would do the work necessary for our sins. And that obviously would produce the fruit of many people coming to salvation. And these Greeks were looking for that already. And so, first of all, the hour has come for Christ to be glorified through the work on his cross, on the cross. But also, Christ would be glorified through his followers doing the same. He says, he that loveth, in verse 25, He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. And really just seems to explain the condition for our salvation. There comes a point where we have to say, you know what, my life and what I want, a life without Christ, I don't want that life anymore. I want a life of following Christ. And basically, we have to come to that point where we are willing to lose our life and say, no, I'm not going to be the Lord of my life anymore. It's not going to be my will. It's not going to be my ambition. It's not going to be the things of this world. I want Christ. And when we come to that point and we place our full trust in Christ as Savior, that's when we find life. And then he says in verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So the hour has come for Christ to be glorified. He's glorified through his own work on the cross. And he's also glorified when we, as Philippians 2:5 says, have the same mind as Christ. So just as Christ is going to lay down his life so that he can meet the greatest need of all humanity, salvation, so he is glorified when we, his followers, have that same mentality and we're willing to deny our own selves, as he says in Matthew 16:24-26. If we turn over there, interestingly, this is right after, as I alluded to, the passage of the Transfiguration and when the disciples were kind of bucking against the idea of Christ going to the cross. Christ tells them in Matthew 16:25, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Actually, let me go back to verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So Christ is glorified also when his disciples, we glorify Christ when as his disciples we follow his example and are willing to lay down our lives, lay down the things I want, lay down my plan, lay down my ambition to do what is important to Christ's heart and being involved in telling people about Christ. So Christ is glorified through his work on the cross. He is glorified through his followers doing the same. And he is glorified because he is providing salvation for those Greeks and also for the whole world in verse 27. He says in verse 27, we're back in John 12, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this world. The Greeks come, they're inquiring about Christ, and Christ is saying, the hour has come. This is why I'm going to die on the cross. This is why I want you to give your life to serving me and following me. It's because this is the whole purpose. You see those Greeks over there? They've come from afar. They know there's something more than their Greek mythology and their religion. They found that the true God is being proclaimed by the nation of Israel. And in fact, they understand that the Christ is there among them. This is the hour I've come so that they can be saved and so that all people can be saved. So the hour has come for Christ to be glorified, but also the hour has come for the Father to be glorified. The Greeks showing up and presenting themselves looking for Christ, the Father is glorified because Christ is doing the will of the Father. We continue in verse 28. He says, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. So the hour has come for the Father to be glorified. You know, it's neat because I just think about the times that the Father, because he is so just pleased in his Son, and Christ doing the will of the Father. When Christ was baptized, the Father spoke audibly and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He knew that Christ would fulfill all God's law and standard of righteousness. In the Transfiguration, we alluded to that already. The Father spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Listen to him." Of course, Moses was here. Elijah was there during that scene. And Christ was there in all his glory. And the Father was saying, he's the completion of all that the Old Testament was speaking about. And now as he's getting ready to go to the cross, the Father says, "I am glorified. I am glorified by my Son." You know, we can never do all that is needed to attain heaven and please God because we're sinners, and we need to understand that. But Christ took on our sins. He fulfilled the whole law and God's standard of righteousness and lived a perfect life. And in dying on the cross, he fulfilled all the punishment requirements for our sins, dying on the cross. The Father is pleased in him. The Father is glorified in him. And we are accepted by the Father because of Christ. And the Father says, "I am glorified in what my Son, in my Son and what he is doing." And so interestingly, we read the passage. The people around hear it. They're saying it thundered or an angel spoke. But it's been tremendous. I can imagine what that sounded like, you know. We're actually staying in an RV park and a big, huge train goes barreling through, big, long, just freight train. And sometimes we're, you know, like, what's going on here? It's just like a, and of course, that's nothing compared to what the sound may have been that those people heard when the Father spoke. All the best they can say is, it sounds like thunder. And Christ said, that voice didn't come for my sake, it came for your sake. Was it to answer Philip and Andrew's question about these Greeks? Was it to tell the Greeks specifically that, yes, you've come to the right place? Whatever was the case, everyone there heard it, and Jesus said, this was for your sake. The Father was speaking to them. Salvation is about to be made complete for all the people of the world. And so the Father, the hour has come for Christ to be glorified. The hour has come for the Father to be glorified. And finally, the hour had come for the enemy to be defeated. In verse 31. "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. So the hour has come also for our enemy to be defeated. Those spiritual enemies that war against our soul. Oftentimes, you know, narrow it down to three aspects: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The enemy is defeated. The world is judged, as Christ says. All that is of the world. You know, the Bible speaks in Romans 12 about not being conformed to this world. And John 1:2 speaks of not loving this world. And obviously, we love the people of this world, but what he's speaking about here, the world, is just that whole movement and system of thought that is always going against God, whether it's wanting to live for yourself as opposed to God, whether it's wanting to trust in yourself instead of trusting in God. All that goes against God in this world, well, that is being judged at the cross of Christ. The devil is being cast out. He's called the prince of this world. He is cast out. He is no longer has authority over this world. He is being cast out. The cross of Christ is the victory that we have. And of course, the flesh also is our enemy. That flesh that just wants to follow the thought of this world of just living apart from God. Well, the Bible says in verse 32, "If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." The Spirit of God is able to draw people to turn from their flesh, to turn from living after the natural sin nature that causes them to run from God. And the Spirit of God will draw people against their flesh to be followers of Christ. And so the hour has come for the enemy to be defeated. So, you know, when we think about the cross of Christ, you know, that wasn't, Christ was not the victim there. He was the conquering victor, victorious Savior on the cross. He was glorifying himself in providing salvation. He was glorifying his Father, and he was giving us victory over our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. So these Greeks, really what they do is they represent all men. You know, the kingdom was offered to the Jewish nation, and now we're seeing, obviously, it's been God's plan all along since the beginning to reach all nations, but these Greeks showing up looking for Jesus signifies salvation is ready to be proclaimed to all nations. You know, God will bring people our way. This could have been just a random, I mean, there's probably hundreds, thousands of people have come into town, into Jerusalem for the Passover, but there's something about these people that got the disciples' attention, or they came looking. And, you know, God brings people into our lives all the time. And then the Lord oftentimes will just speak to your heart about someone. You know, we don't know what those people are looking for, but we know what the answer is. They might be looking for someone, a hero, an answer, some kind of guidance, especially in these days when we don't know. There's so much we don't know about this pandemic still. There's so much we don't know about the future of employment or economy or the elections or whatever. Just all so many things going on around us. And God will bring people our way. And we can, and maybe it's like Christ saying, you know what, the hour has come. The hour has come now for Christ to be glorified in their life. Tell them about the love of God that moved Christ to lay his life down on the cross and bear all our sins and provide for us salvation and hope in this life and eternity with him after this life. Share with them about Christ. Maybe the hour has come when God brings people into our lives, the hour has come for Christ to be glorified in their lives, for the Father to be glorified in them, and for the enemy to be defeated in their life by God bringing him into our presence at that moment to share with them about Christ. Can we use those moments to show with them, to share with them about the self-sacrificing love of Christ? The hour has come, and the hour is still now for Christ to be glorified. Now is the time to continue taking the message out to people around us that, yes, we see a lot of wrong in this world, but that enemy is defeated, and we can enjoy that victory by trusting in Christ for our salvation, by telling others about Christ, and by following Christ, and not putting our hope in the things of this world, but putting our hope in Christ, following his principles, going every day, every day of our lives, every situation, following his principles. Those are the things that give us victory every day. And as we learn to do that every day, we grow stronger in our walk with him, and God shows us more how victorious a life we can have in him. But it's all about Christ. And so the hour has come. The hour had come. The hour is now. Now is the time. You know, until Christ comes, this is the hour for Christ to be glorified, bringing more people to him, for the Father to be glorified, and for the enemy to have to lose his grip on more people. Now is the time. Let's take advantage of the opportunities that God brings our way, the people that he brings our way. It might be their time to come to know Christ as Savior. Let's pray.